On this week's show, Amazon ditches Venmo. They also add a bunch of new FBA fees, and Mercari adds a new shipping option. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 229 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host as we walk through just a little bit of reselling news and a few items that sold here in what was a killer, killer week here at the Galaxy last week. If you follow me over on Instagram, if you're not, shame on you. You should be. It's at Galaxy CDs Rocks. My weekly recap, I sold like 130 listings last week. It was just absolute insanity here. So I hope you're all having a great week. And with that said, let's get into this reselling news.
News updates.
So Amazon has announced that they are going to be dropping Venmo as a payment option. We did a episode on that. I did an episode on that. Just a little over a year ago, they just added this in, I think, October maybe of 2022. And here we are in December of 2023, and they have announced that they are no longer going to be accepting it as a payment option. This article over on Retail Dive says jettisoning Venmo from the e-commerce giant's marketplace is another strike against PayPal's recent growth efforts. Users of PayPal's Venmo peer-to-peer payment app will no longer be able to tap that tool for purchases on Amazon as of January 10th, according to a notice on Venmo's website. So you'll be able to use it at least through the holiday selling season and the immediate aftermath of that. But after January 10th, as of January 10th, that is no longer going to work. They said due to recent changes, Venmo can no longer be added as a payment method. The Venmo site notice said, Venmo will remain available to users who currently have it enabled in their Amazon wallet until January 10th. So if you don't have it in there now, you can no longer add it. If you are an existing Venmo user on Amazon, it will still work for the next couple of weeks, and then it is going bye-bye. Venmo and Amazon, they said, have agreed to disable Venmo as an option to pay on Amazon at this time. PayPal, which absorbed the Venmo business back in 2013, said in an emailed statement Thursday, without any further explanation, customers can continue to add their Venmo debit card or credit card to their Amazon wallet to pay on Amazon. We have a strong relationship with Amazon and look forward to continuing to build on it. PayPal says they had about 58 million Venmo users as of March. PayPal's senior vice president, Doug Bland, said during a presentation that month. At that time, Bland said PayPal was continuing to work with Amazon on ramping the use of Venmo on that major digital marketplace after the initial rollout last year. There's been really no explanation from either party as to why this decision has been made. I don't frankly know how impactful it is on potential buyers or on the Amazon marketplace. My guess would be it's not going to be a big bump in the road for Amazon at all, but this is a pretty big bump in the road for PayPal, whose stock nosedived after this announcement. So just be aware of that. This more probably if you're a shopper, as a seller, I don't know that this really affects any of us one way or the other, but I thought that was rather interesting. Continuing with Amazon, they just keep making it more and more difficult for small sellers, and in particular, it feels like media sellers. I was chatting with a friend of mine online the other day about this, and it just seems like they don't really care to sell what they built their brand on. Long tail media, books and whatnot, they just are getting out of that kind of altogether with the way they're structuring these fees. Amazon is now going to charge a new fee for low inventory levels. They have structured their fees so sellers don't park slow-moving inventory in their FBA warehouses. They've already done that. I've talked to several sellers who have pulled, in some cases, 3/4 of their former FBA long-tail inventory out of Amazon FBA warehouses and are now doing that fulfilled by merchant rather than using FBA to avoid these fees and the overage charges for inventory that sits there too long. But this article over on eCommerce Byte says sellers will now find themselves between a rock and a hard place because Amazon is instituting a new low inventory fee in 2024, meaning that in addition to paying fees if you have too much inventory at Amazon, they'll also pay fees if you have too little inventory at Amazon. They said, quote, "We will introduce a low inventory level fee for standard size products. This fee applies," they say, "if you carry consistently low levels of inventory relative to unit sales, as this inhibits our ability to distribute products across our network, degrading delivery speeds and increasing our shipping costs. Sellers can avoid this fee by maintaining more than 4 weeks of inventory relative to sales. These fees will apply starting on April 1st of 2024. The new fee, they said, appears to be a direct result of Amazon CEO Andy Jassy's decision to decentralize FBA, which eCommerce Bytes wrote about back in April. They have changed to, rather than one national fulfillment network, they now have 8 regional networks, and each operates self-sufficiently, this article says, in order to speed up delivery times. Amazon is all about being able to get stuff to you same day, next day, even though they're not really doing that necessarily for free all the time anymore, even for Prime customers. They have started rolling out again minimum order sizes and so on, but they really want to be able to get inventory to buyers quickly. It's clear that sellers will pay the cost of decentralizing the network one way or the other, as Amazon explained in today's fee announcement. Maintaining sufficient inventory levels also enables us to place inventory closer to customers across our network, reducing costs to fulfill orders. So again, this is all about Amazon reducing their costs, not necessarily to help you sell more stuff or be more profitable. This is all about their ability to deliver stuff in a more timely fashion for less expense. Up front, in cases where you have low inventory levels, this drives transportation costs higher, partially because they would have to fill it potentially from another warehouse as opposed to the one that's closer to the customer. And we will introduce fees to align with these underlying costs. Where your actions reduce our cost of fulfillment by maintaining healthy inventory levels, you will see lower fees for these items. I think what they mean there is that you won't see the fee increase. I don't think you're necessarily going to see lower fees. I just think you're not going to get hit with big fees if you play ball by their new rules. It says Amazon will also begin directly charging sellers fees to cover its cost of sending inventory to those 8 regional warehouses instead of a single warehouse by introducing yet another new fee called the Inbound Placement Service Fee next year to reflect our cost of distributing inventory to fulfillment centers close to customers, it wrote in today's announcement. So again, this is about reducing their costs, not reducing yours, not helping you be more profitable. This is all about their bottom line. They made the decision. I mean, and again, as I always say, it's their sandbox. They can do whatever they want. And if we want to sell there, we gotta play by their rules. But they made the decision to go from a national to 8 regional distribution networks. And now they're going to charge you as a seller to get that inventory that you send into FBA, ideally probably in one large box. If you now split that up into 8 shipments, or they do, they're going to charge you a fee for that. The fees, they say, will average 27 cents per unit for standard sized products and $1.58 for large bulky sized products. Sellers who want to pay lower inbound placement service fees or even bypass them altogether obviously will have the option to shipping your inventory to these multiple Amazon warehouses yourselves, but that is certainly most likely going to be more expensive for you even than paying to have Amazon do it. So I don't know that that's really much of a solution. Amazon executive Dharmesh Mehta said that breaking the fees into inbound and outbound fees, that is, as it is doing next year, allows us to create incentives for sellers to use our network more efficiently so we can share the cost savings, including the ability to avoid inbound fees altogether and pay lower overall outbound fees. If you're a seller on Amazon, you can let me know if you think any of that is true. The few that I have heard from so far are not convinced, to put it mildly, that is actually the case. This just looks like a fee grab to most of them and probably to most of the people who have posted on Amazon's message boards, which have been blowing up, as you can imagine. He characterized, they go on, this new fee structure as providing sellers with more transparency and more control over their fulfillment costs, and said that on average, the new fee changes were significantly less than those announced by other major fulfillment services. I don't frankly know how relevant that statement really even is. If you're selling it on Amazon, I don't know why you would use anybody else's distribution network anyway. So I don't know. There is a publicly facing page. Now, this was originally announced on Amazon Seller Central, which you can only access if you are an Amazon seller and registered as such. There is now a publicly facing page that breaks down these new fees. And there is a link in this article, which I, of course, will link to in the show notes and the video description below. Some good news. Mercari is offering a new shipping rate for lightweight goods. This was announced last week. They have introduced a new rate for users of their app that makes it less expensive to ship lightweight goods via USPS. Anything between 8 and 12 ounces used to cost $7.40 when printing labels through Mercari as of December 4th. That cost has dropped to $5.99. That is a pretty nice savings. I don't know. They didn't say. They didn't clarify. I don't know this if this is a negotiated rate with them or if this is in relation and response to some changes with UPS Ground Advantage that's just made it cheaper for Mercari to offer this. Don't know the details, but this is a win if you use Mercari shipping labels. The program, they note, also offers USPS Media Mail, which they had just added not too awful long ago, USPS First Class Envelopes for trading cards only over on Mercari, and of course FedEx and UPS. They noted in their announcement that its prepaid labels are also eligible for up to $200 of shipping protection, with the option to also generate a QR code that allows USPS to print the labels for the seller. So if you are a seller on Mercari and you use their labels, this is a pretty good setup. You save a little bit of money, you get $200 worth of insurance or shipping protection, I guess I should say, not actually insurance, as I'm sure they're not a licensed insurance agent or company. So you can let me know in the comments if you intend to switch back to using Mercari shipping. I, again, probably will not because I offer free shipping and it's more convenient for me to just do everything on Pirate Ship. Most of my stuff is media mail and wouldn't qualify for this rate anyway. So this is nothing for me personally, but might be a big boon for people who sell a lot of stuff in that weight range. That's going to put a wrap on the news. And now let's do some What Sold. I forgot even to mention, I posted over again on Instagram and on the community page on the YouTube channel, but my apologies for the show being late this week, with it being a super busy weekend and I had things going on. If you follow me over there on Instagram, you saw Friday night I was in Columbus out of town for an NHL Blue Jackets hockey game with some friends of mine. Had a really good time up there. It was nice to get out. We spent the night up there and just had a really great weekend. Go Blue Jackets. They actually won the game, which was also quite good. And then I just spent the weekend doing a lot of other just stuff with friends and just being out and kind of taking the full weekend off of the business. I didn't even ship any packages on Saturday, which is normally a shipping day for me. To say the least, that made Monday morning rather rather messy. I had over 50 items to ship out this morning. So that's why this show is late. My apologies, but for me, at least, it was well worth the slight delay. So let's get into this What's Sold. I don't even know how many things I've got here for you this week, but this first one is My New Predictions by a guy called Hannesson. It was a reprint from 1999 on EVD. Never heard of this guy. He's some sort of, I guess, psychic, maybe from Europe. I don't know. I found this at an estate sale for $1. I looked it up. It looked like it had some value. I listed it for $24.99 plus shipping. I got an offer of $21 and sent it on its way. Really old book. I've talked about these religious books several weeks in a row. I feel like I bought essentially a whole shelf full of these for about $2 a piece at an estate sale several months ago. This one was from 1922, The Rosary, The Crown of Mary. This was a new and revised apostolate of the Rosary. The estate sale had a ton of old Catholic books and literature, which I just essentially bought all of. Another one that I had listed for $24.99 or best offer received an offer of $21 and sold it on eBay. I'm running a sale this month, 10% off everything in my Etsy shop, and that has sparked actually quite a bit of activity over on Etsy. It was my busiest week by far on Etsy this past week. This item priced for $24.99, sold for $22.49 with the 10% off. The Sea Flower by Ruth Moore. This was a second printing hardcover in its dust jacket, an ex-library copy with the markings like they usually have from 1965. This was part of a big lot of books that I owned for about 16 cents. Back over to eBay. This is an item also from a big lot that I'm into for about a nickel. The Basics of Sterile Processing, 4th edition, Sterile Processing University. This is from 2012, so it's, by my standards at least, a fairly recent item. I had it listed for $39.99 or best offer. Got an offer of $30 over on eBay and shipped this thing out. Back over to Etsy. New World Edition Works of Rudyard Kipling, The Light That Failed and Captain's Courageous. This was part of a lot of this series of books by Kipling. I did not end up with a complete set, so I've been selling these off individually for quite a while. They are probably early 1900s era books in reasonably good condition. I've still got a few of these left. This was listed for $34.99 and sold for $31.49 plus shipping. Was, again, part of an estate sale bulk lot that I own for one whole dollar. This is an item that actually was consigned. I had mentioned several months ago that my brother operates a warehouse up north of Dayton, Ohio, and there had been a person who had worked for him who had some stuff stored there that the family did not want after he passed away. And we've slowly been kind of gradually selling this stuff off. This was an old owner's manual for a 1994 Ford F-Series. It's the owner's guide, the sound systems guide, and the warranty info and maintenance booklet. Neat old package, not necessarily in really all that great a shape, but if you bought an old Ford F-Series and it didn't have a book, I thought maybe you might want this. The values on them looked pretty good. This is essentially a free-to-me item at this point, $32.99 plus shipping. An old record. I bought this for a dollar at an estate sale back in the summer. And to be completely honest, I'd never heard of this guy. The Billy Taylor Trio with Candido. It was on Prestige Records. It was a promo copy of this album, which changes the value of it. Sometimes promo copies are not worth very much. Sometimes they are worth quite a bit more because there are not as many of them out there. This was one of those cases, $42.99 plus shipping was what I had it listed for. Got a watcher, sent out my normal 15% off offer, and sold it for $36.54. I mentioned over on Instagram a few weeks ago that I had picked up, I don't even remember now, 425 maybe, of the old science fiction digests. And I have been gradually working my way through those. I'm listing 10 or 15 of those a day in addition to the 15 or 20 books that I'm trying to list. So I'm trying to balance those two out as I work through the massive, massive amount of stuff in my garage right now. But I really like these things. They're super easy to list. I sort them by title. There's probably 10 different brands of these digests out there. I sort them by title, then by year, then by month, so that I can just go through really quickly, do some quick research, find out what they're worth, and then list one and then sell similar, take some new pictures, update it, and boom, 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 boom. I can do these in about a minute and a half a piece. So I can blow through 10 or 15 of them in well less than half an hour generally. And they sell, for me at least, very, very well. They're not necessarily huge money, but this recent lot I picked up, I own them for just a shade over 15 cents a piece. So when they sell for $12 or $13, that's not too shabby. This person bought three different ones, Science Fantasy Magazine. These were all three from the United Kingdom, published in Great Britain back in 1961 and 62. Some of the more traditional ones, like the later era analog, or a fantasy and science fiction magazines, those are sometimes those are $4.99, $5.99 plus shipping kind of books. But some of these more unusual ones, like the ones from England or anything pre-1970, can bring some pretty decent money. So that was three of those for essentially $12.99 a piece, $38.97 on a cost of goods sold of just over 45 cents. Back over to Etsy. Picked this up at an estate sale back in, I want to say, August for $2. Avionics Navigation Systems, second edition hardcover in its dust jacket. This was essentially like a textbook for aviation navigation systems. Big, thick, heavy book in fantastic condition. Had it listed for $49.99 and sold with my 10% off offer for $44.99 plus shipping. Hey, what do you know? More of those science fiction novels. This gentleman actually had purchased a couple of lots of these from me months and months ago, and I sent him a coupon for 25% off and told him I was listing a bunch of additional ones, and he came back to the store and he didn't order any of the new ones that I've listed so far, but he ordered 10 different copies of Fantastic Stories, Science Fiction and Fantasy. These were all from the 1960s through, or 1950s, even through the 1970s. He ordered 10 of them at an average of $5.48 a piece, added up to $54.81. This particular batch of these I own for about 44 cents a piece, so still not bad, $4.40 into $54.81. Back over to Etsy. I picked this up at an estate sale for $2 just a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned I had been at a sale and I picked up a bunch of old art books. This one was actually still in its cellophane wrap, so this was brand new, never opened. The Paintings of Charles Birchfield, North by Midwest. Trade paperback in just fantastic condition, still in its wrap, as I said. Not many of these out there. I listed it for $69.99 with the 10% off sale. It sold for $62.99 plus shipping. Continuing on Etsy, this, I'm not sure. I want to say this went to the UK, actually, via Etsy's shipping program. Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And a Holy Bible in the same size and style. They were packed together in a leather satchel with metal tabs. Really interesting piece. My best guess of the age was that it was probably from sometime in the 1970s. It was a reprint of her original works from many, many years ago. Really unusual piece. I didn't see anything like it. I originally ran this at an auction on eBay. Didn't get any bites on it over there. So I listed it for $79.99 or best offer, sold with the discount for $71.99. I own this thing for $2. And this one will be your flip of the week. I picked this thing up at a garage sale back in July for 50 cents, along with a couple other really, really unusual and hard to find paperback science fiction and horror novels. This particular one is Event Horizon, a novel by Stephen E. McDonald based on the screenplay of the movie Event Horizon. This was a first printing Tor paperback in pretty much immaculate condition. I picked it up for 50 cents, and these things were selling for anywhere from $130 to about $180. I listed mine for $169.99 or best offer. It's gotten a couple of watchers over the months since I got it in, and this time somebody picked it up when I sent them the 15% off offer, sold for $144.49 plus shipping on an original investment of 50 whole cents. So again, as I essentially did a whole episode on last week, media can be really strong money. It is kind of a volume game. Again, you know, if you've been following along here, I've got 10,000 plus listings and thousands more to go. It is a, like most of this, it's a numbers game. There's no $500 or $1,000 sellers here this week, but if you sell 80, 90, 100, 130 items in a week and you cap some of it off with $140 or $150 sales, that's a lot of fun. So that's going to put a wrap on this week's episode. Again, as always, if you got anything out of this, please do me a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, and hit that thumbs up button. If you're not currently a follower of the podcast or a subscriber to the YouTube channel, please consider doing that as well. And if you could share this with any of your like-minded reselling friends that might get some value out of it, that would be awesome. Also, as of this morning, I am like 23 hours away of viewing time from hitting the first monetization threshold over on YouTube, rather, which is like 3,000 hours of watch time. So when you're done watching this one, go watch another one. even if you mute me, just have it play in the background so I can get a little extra watch time and get that process started to get this bad boy monetized. So I would appreciate that very much. And as always, I appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your week to listen to my ramblings. And hopefully you got something out of this. If I don't see you before, I'll see you next week. It's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.